Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Yourselves. In the land of the Perizzites and of the giants. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not intimidated by any giant. In the land of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph replied, oh my goodness, they're shocked. They expected Joshua to hand them a destiny on a silver platter. But they were not willing, nor did they recognize the fact that the mountain that was filled with giants and filled with the wood that will now require cutting it down was their inheritance. They thought for sure it would be like those that inherited on the other side of the Jordan. The other side of the Jordan was so easy. The other side of the Jordan were the tribes of Reuben and Gad. And Manasseh had a partial portion on the other side. But now there are areas in Israel proper that need to be possessed, and they're shocked that they've been given a mountain, Elder Micah, with giants. They're shocked that it's filled with the wood and they have to cut it down. And Joshua said, notice what Joshua is telling them as we look at the word of God. And the Bible says, and the children of Joseph, notice this is their reply. The children of Joseph said, the hill is not for us. Turn to your neighbor and say, have you ever said, this is not my destiny? That can't possibly be right. Come on. Have you ever run into difficulty and said, this cannot be God's will? Have you ever had a trial face you smack in the face, a challenge, and said, this is not for me. This is the wrong person. This is not where I've been called. Is there anyone in the house that is honest enough for faith? The Bible says, the children of Joseph said, the hill is not for us. And all the Canaanites dwell in the land. And in the valley, they have chariots of iron who are of Beth Shean and her towns. And those who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto them, even to the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and Manasseh, and said, you are a great people, and you do have great power, and you will not have one lot only. But the mountain shall be thine. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not afraid of the mountain, because Jesus already told me how to move it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a mountain mover. Come on. Say, I am a mountain mover. That's my destiny. Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible to you. Notice what the word of God says. But the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine, and thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have chariots of iron, and though they be strong. Now, beloved saints, I'm going to tell you something. So many of us in this very room live below the potential that God has called us to walk in. You see, God had ordained the children of Ephraim and the children of Manasseh to take that mountain that was their inheritance, and their anointing was to drive the giants out. Their anointing was to cut down the wood, and their anointing was to drive out the chariots of iron. Joshua told them that. Joshua said, the mountain is yours. Though there be chariots of iron. Watch this. He said, you are a strong people. You have great power. You will not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, though it is a wood. Thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. You will drive out the Canaanites, though they have chariots of iron, and though they be strong. Put your hands up right now and say, in the name of Jesus, tonight, no matter what obstacles I come up against, no matter how difficult it seems, I'm receiving power right now to drive chariots of iron out of my land in the name of Jesus. What warriors do I have here tonight that are not intimidated to take on a giant? Now, let me tell you, saints, we don't know what the children of Manasseh and Ephraim did. As a matter of fact, Joshua, in the next verses, tells the rest of the children of Israel who are about to receive their inheritance, how long will you be slack in going up to possess the land that the Lord your God has given you? You see, possession of the land means I have to drive the demons out of the land. I have to drive every wicked spirit out of the land. And sometimes that is going to require a tremendous amount of spiritual warfare. Are you following me? Let me tell you what they did instead. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not going to go lower. I refuse to live on a lower level than my highest potential. Okay, I'm going to ask these people over here. I refuse to live on a lower level than my highest potential. Turn to your neighbor and say, my highest potential is revealed in the Word of God. So if I'm living below the level of what the Word says I am living on a level lower than my highest potential. Are you hearing me? Your highest potential's already been declared in the Word. Your highest potential is the call of God on your life. You are not called to live below that potential. Are you hearing me? Your potential does not depend on what you have. In case you didn't know this, despite the challenges, tell your neighbor and say, despite the challenges, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh my goodness, did you hear this? Now, we're going to do something that some of us may need a little patience to endure for a moment, but it's going to work for you, a far more eternal weight of glory. Hello? I'm going to do a word study for you from I can do all things. All things. I'm going to do it over here. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, beloved saints, years ago, many years ago, some of you weren't even born yet. When I was in seminary in the 1970s, how many of you were born before the 1970s? After the 1970s? All right. When you all were still in your mother's womb, I was over there in seminary. And I had a teacher by the name of Professor Wright. He was very hard, difficult, because he wanted us to learn Greek overnight. And he threw us right into the whole thing. And to me, I loved the theology classes. I loved the doctrine classes. I loved all the classes. But when it came to Greek overnight, to understand what he meant, because the next day he's going to start speaking half in Greek to us. That's a very hard class. And it was just word studies. It wasn't even the Greek language yet. It was just the word studies. He was also a professor at the Assemblies of God, Vanguard. It wasn't Vanguard then. It was Southern California University for the Assemblies of God. He was also a professor there. So he was a professor where I was and a professor over there. And he did the word studies. And you know something, beloved? I didn't know so much was in one word. And that it's so important for our theology to have word studies. This is what is so wonderful, young people, when you are preparing your sermons, to get your concordance and just go on the internet and do a Greek word study or a Hebrew word study. It will come up for you instantly. In our day, we had to go and buy the books and look it up. But now, at the touch of a finger, you can have access to the entire Greek studies. Scripture for All is one of the best ones for Greek. And, of course, Strong's Concordance will give you, anytime there's online Strong's. And today, I want to do a word study on the word all. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The word panto in Greek. I can do all things, or panta in Greek. Let me share with you the multiple meanings of the word panta, all in Greek, so that you understand what all means. Because all is the focus of that word, of this promise. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. Are you hearing me? Let us look for a moment. Let us look at the multiple meanings of panta. Number one, the first meaning of panta is all manner of things. Say this with me. I can do every kind of thing through Christ who strengthens me. Turn to your neighbor and say, you don't even have to stay in your field. When Christ has called you to do it, come on. When Christ has called you to do it, it's not in your own strength. It's in his strength. And you can do all things outside of your field, even out of your talent. If it requires that you do it, you are able to do it. Are you hearing me? What else does the word say? If we look at a second meaning, I can do anything. Anything. Through Christ who strengthens me. So that means I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and be victorious. I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. That means I can believe God for the impossible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are you hearing me? It doesn't matter what the project is. It doesn't matter how hard it is. It doesn't depend on your strength. It doesn't depend on who you know. It doesn't depend on your finances. It depends on Jesus. And we continue in the context, what other thing does it mean? I can do all manner of things. I can do whatsoever things. It also says anything. And it also reads, beloved saints, as many things. That means I'm not limited to one thing. I can go from project to project. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't get overwhelmed, child. If I have project on the wings of another project. Hello, somebody. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm a visionary, and you are dealing with a visionary right now. Turn to your neighbor and say, sorry if you can't keep up with me, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't get your carnal mind involved in reasoning. Reasoning is your enemy. Reasoning it out in the flesh. Reasoning it out in the natural. But if Jesus told you to do it, you can do all manner of things. Another word for panta is everything. You can do everything. You can do whatsoever things. You can do as many things. Hallelujah. You can, and it also means whosoever. It doesn't just mean whatsoever. It means, Elder Tony, whosoever. Did you hear that, Elder? Did you hear that? Whosoever. Are you hearing this? Did you hear? That means somebody who you would never suspect. The one you didn't expect is the one that God is going to elect to do the impossible. Are you hearing me, saints? All things. I can do all things. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can do all things. Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible to you. In Matthew chapter 17, nothing shall be impossible to you. Jesus was the ultimate faith teacher. Are you hearing me? Jesus said, all things are possible in Mark 9:23 to him that believeth. How many of you believe tonight? How many of you are trusting God tonight? Hallelujah. I can do, this word can do, is a word ixio in Greek, which means to achieve. It means also to be confrontive. That means you can confront a project and be strengthened to finish that project. Are you hearing me? It is a force to achieve something. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This word strength is the Greek word endunamo. Say it with me, endunamo. Endunamo. Say it again. That's the same word when you receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You will receive dunamis. This means to be empowered. Christ empowers you. Christ gives you the ability. The word literally means, this word, beloved saints, literally means strength. And the brethren are bringing this down. The word literally means the strength that you received in the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Do you know what the word says about those of us who received the baptism in the Holy Ghost? You will receive power, but Pastor Laura, that means you have received the ability. In Greek, it means you shall receive the ability. That means everything that the Lord has put on your heart to do. Everything that is written of you in his word. You have the power through Christ to accomplish it. Are you hearing me? Let me give you a little story of faith, if I may. How many of you love to see stories of faith? Go with me to Mark's gospel, 5th chapter, and we're going to see how Jesus handles unbelief. How many of you want to see how Jesus handles unbelief? Mark's gospel in the 5th chapter. Let us turn to it, if we will, beloved saints. Mark chapter 5. Oh, precious Jesus, we worship you and we praise you. Oh my, we're going to get it. Do you know why we're going to get it? Because God's pouring out his spirit on this generation. And so the Lord has left ones like myself, some of the older ones here, like Brother Bill, myself, like this
wonderful family that we have here, Banks and Banks Incorporated. We love them. Give them a great big God bless you. Pastor Sanjay's still young, but let me tell you something. He started young. He got a jump start on y'all. He got a very young start. Do you know Pastor Sanjay started studying Torah in 1991? Do you know how long that is? He was one of the first most faithful students of Torah study. Give him a great big God bless you. That's why Pastor Sanjay is the incredible teacher he is. He's endured all these years. And so he's been proven. So if you want to know what ministry looks like, study Pastor Sanjay and Bhavna's life. And that's so you will see what ministry looks like. Come on, somebody, give them a great big God bless you. I would say that to so many here, I could spend the whole night putting you all on the showcase. There's not one of you that I know in this place, especially those of you who have been here for years, that cannot set an example for others in faithfulness and proving what ministry is. My dear sister, she's so humble. Do you realize this beautiful woman of God sat under Catherine Coleman? I said she sat under Catherine Coleman. And she was just a young girl in her teenager. Before her, she was a preteen. She and my mother were like this, going to Bible studies everywhere. She still has her journal from when she was 12 years old. My sister saves everything, and I'm so glad she does. She came to us when Mama went to heaven, and she had this book that she put together. It was so precious to the whole family. I don't know what we'd do without my beautiful sister, Lisa. Let's give her a great big God bless you. She remembers, can you imagine being 12 years old and being in a Catherine Coleman meeting and being in all the meetings? She never missed meetings. She was in meetings morning, noon, and night with my mother. Morning, noon, and night, we'd go from everywhere our teacher was, we followed. We couldn't get enough of the word of the living God. And every Sunday at Melody Land, every Sunday, Gary Perotin, at Melody Land. This is a man of God, also from Melody Land. Come on, give him a great big God bless you. And so I want you to look with me very quickly at Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, beloved saints, we're looking at the word of the living God. And we're looking at Mark chapter 5, and we're going to see verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, meaning Jesus, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. Now watch the words that come out of Jairus. Watch the words that come out of Jairus. The Bible says, and he said, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, that she may live. Didn't say, I hope she'll live. Didn't say, I pray she'll live. He made a declaration of faith and gave God something to work with. You see, miracles happen, but what God requires is that whatever we have, even if it's a small thing, that we give him all we've got to work with. Are you hearing me? There has to be something given to God that he is going to work with that comes from us. So even if it's just a declaration of faith, that's all Jairus gave Jesus. He said that you may come and lay your hands on her and she will live. Yes. Now, this confession of faith, a declaration brings activation for the impossible. Say it with me. A declaration brings activation for the impossible. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not going to be intimidated by what I see or what I hear. But I'm making a declaration of faith right now. I'm already healed. Tell the devil, if you're sick, if you are infirmed, if you have any kind of sickness in your body, tell the devil he's a liar and he is not getting away with it. In the name of Jesus, they're just symptoms. Get out, symptoms. We break your power. I'm going to show you how Jesus loves this kind of faith. The Bible tells us Jesus started walking with him. Taking the presence of God with you when you're speaking a word of faith. Now watch what happens. Mark is building a case because there's somebody else who made a declaration of faith on the way to Jairus' house. And that was the woman with the issue of blood. Follow it in the text. The Bible says, continuing in the context of Mark chapter 5, the Bible says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of the physicians and was nothing better. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I just touch his clothes, now watch this. I hope I'm healed. No. I pray that I'm healed. No. I think I'll be healed. No. I shall be healed. Do you realize? This woman had a plan. A plan that was given to her by the Spirit of God. It's a little plan, but it's a powerful plan. You must always have a plan, child of God, how you are going to obtain what you're believing God for. You don't just go out there without a plan. The Bible tells us we serve a God of a plan. So your plan is very necessary. Are you hearing this? The plan is so necessary. She had a plan. And the plan was to believe God by touching the hem of his garment. And the Bible says she said, turn to your neighbor and say, declaration brings activation. Say it again, say, declaration brings activation for the impossible. Say it again, declaration brings activation for the impossible. Come on, start declaring it. Put the word in your mouth. There's a miracle in your mouth when you declare it, when you speak it. God's word is faithful. Can I tell you a little story? There was a man of God who lived, and I thank God we, many years ago, were able to know him. Oh my goodness, he came to Breath of the Spirit in 1990 with his precious wife, Aretha. What a name. Tells you their background, Aretha Hagen and Kenneth E. Hagen Sr. I said senior, not junior, senior. Oh my goodness. He came to Breath of the Spirit, Dad Hagen. At the time, I knew he was a general, but I didn't know what a general he was till much later. And I remember Dad Hagen. He came, he wanted total silence around him, and he wanted to be alone in the green room with nobody disturbing. Because he was going in prayer and he didn't want the anointing broken. We honored that. Now remember when it was time to get him, I got to get him. I opened the door and the power almost knocked me over. It was so glorious seeing Dad Hagen. He was praying in tongues to himself. He must have been in there an hour. No, he didn't talk to anybody. No, he didn't break the anointing. Anita was in that meeting. I don't know if you remember it. At Christ Church in Los Angeles. And might remember Dad Hagen. A man who knew the anointing so well. Do you realize Dad Hagen was born weighing 1 pound? He was dead. They thought he was dead. And his grandmother went to bury him in the backyard in 1903, 1904. She went to bury him in the backyard. She put a little thing on him to bury him, just a little thing in her hand, 1 pound. And she saw him move. She came back in And she said, he is alive. He's not dead. So Grandmother Drake, that was her name. Grandmother Drake had a little bottle, a little dropper. And she used to drop in there everything he needed. Before you knew it, he became 5 pounds. Before you knew it, he became a young person. But with that tragedy as a child, he was born with an incurable disease that most individuals with this disease were dead by the time they were 16. It was several complications in the heart and something in the blood that paralyzed one, and he became bedfast at 13 years old. Totally bedfast. He was paralyzed. Barely only could move the top part of his body. And Grandmother Drake was a great Christian. And she used to go in and read him scriptures. And his favorite scripture was Mark 11, 23. That if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and you shall not doubt in your heart, but you shall believe the things that you shall say, you shall have whatsoever things you say. Dad Hagen asked his mother and asked several people, is this true? And they were good Baptists. The mother was a great Nazarene. And so they brought some pastors over, and the pastors said, no, son, we don't want to get your hopes up. That was only for the days of the Bible, but not for now. But you see, Dad Hagen believed what he read. And one day when it was time to go to breakfast, every day in the morning, he would see a pen on the lampstand near his bed, and he'd spend about 35 to 40 minutes trying to just move his hand a little bit, confessing Mark 11, 23. Little by little, he just stretched. This went on for almost a year. Finally, he rolled himself out of bed. And he tried to pick himself up by the bedside. And little by little, standing on Mark 11, 23, dear Sister Isabella, you've got that anointing. And so do you, Maricar. You have the anointing of Mark 11, 23 all over you. That's the way you believe. And that's the way you believe. And you two are sitting together. Hallelujah. So you're agreed on that thing. And finally, it came to a point that he wiggled his way into the kitchen after about a year and a half. And he finally sat down. And before you knew it, he got permission to start walking to school. And the teachers already said, they already knew in the whole city that, you know, those were the times of the one-horse towns. And they already knew that he was sick and he shouldn't be at school. And the teachers gave warning. He could pass out any time. And he got special permission from the principal, who was a good Baptist, who said, okay, he's a good Christian. He's believing, so we can't interrupt his faith. Before you know it, he started walking home from school. Before you know it, by the time he was 17 years old, he was preaching the gospel. Are you hearing this? And the rest is history. I said the rest is history. Dad Hagen went home to be with the Lord in the year of 2003. He was in his late 80s and began the Word of Faith movement. Now, I'm telling you, it was a powerful in the beginning days. If anybody knows Dad Hagen's background, you will know he was a Pentecostal pioneer. And here we are looking at Mark chapter 5. This woman had a plan. She said, if I could just touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And the Bible says she touched his clothes, and Jesus felt immediately in his body that virtue had gone out of him. And Jesus said, who touched me? And his disciples said, Lord, Multitudes are pressing on you, and you're asking who touched me. This right here became a red alert to Jesus. Because what was about to follow, they were not going to be able to participate in. Because their minds were not one in the spirit, understanding, what do you mean, instead of saying to Jesus, people, there's hundreds of people and you're at a carnal answer. What an answer that displays absolute ignorance of what is happening in the realm of the spirit. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. And the reason I'm saying this, because as soon as that was done, someone came from Jairus' house. And that person said, the Bible says, certain came from the house of Jairus and said, trouble not the master. Don't let him go any further. Trouble him not, dear Sister Lana. Trouble not the master. She's already dead. But I want you to see Jesus' reaction to those words. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to see the way Jesus sees it. Have you ever been halfway to a miracle and someone came at you and gave you a word to give it up? Someone said you're crazy to believe God. Someone said you're being a fanatic to believe God. Someone else said, you could have a heart attack. You need to not believe God. Are you hearing me? But notice what Jesus did. I want you to see it continue in the context. And I want you to see how Jesus handled those words. The Bible says in verse 35, while he yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why trouble the master? Now watch verse 36. I want you to see it. I want you to mark it in your word. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken unto the ruler of the synagogue, what did he do? He shot those words down. I said he shot those words down. I said he shot those words down. Maybe you didn't hear me. He didn't say, yes, she's dead. He did not say that. He said, be not afraid, only believe. Maybe you didn't get this. I said the girl was already dead. I said the girl was already dead. Do you hear this? The Bible says, as soon as Jesus heard those words, he didn't even let another sentence conversation came that he shot those words down. Are you hearing this? Somebody ought to say, in the name of Jesus, I will not allow, I can't come out of my mouth. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can't is not part of my language. Say, I can't is not part of my spiritual vernacular. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can. And the devil is a liar. Watch me do it. I may have to be like Dad Hagen, and it may take me an hour and a half to touch, 2 days, 3 days, to touch even a few inches, but I am gonna do it. It may take a year and a half just to roll out of bed, but I am going to do it. Are you hearing me? It may take me much longer than somebody else, but all things are possible to him who believeth. Are you intimidated by how long it takes you to stretch your hand to the night table? Are you intimidated by how long it takes you to put your shoes on? I tell you the bravery of Papa Right now, he's at a place he can barely speak. This morning, we came together, and I took his hand, and I said, "Babe, say this with me." And he could barely get the words out. And I said, "Say this with me, I can." And he was barely getting, I can. Do all things. Do all things to Christ who strengthens me. I hope you understand that. We won't receive anything else in our house. That's why Papa goes to the mission field. That's why he is still serving God. We don't look at his infirmity. We look at who God is, that God is able. I thought to myself, I needed to record that. The Holy Spirit filled the, he was sitting, you know, we have a little place in our bathroom, and he was sitting there when I took his hand. And the glory fell so strong in that bathroom. The moment he opened his mouth and I didn't have my phone to record it so that you could hear it and have courage, so that you could hear that all things are possible. Hallelujah. That you could hear it. Can you imagine Dad Hagen? Weeks, days, and months stretching that hand, pushing his hand, holding on to it, Joyce, holding on to it, pushing it, pushing it, pushing it to the table. And ends up living 83 years. 83 years with a testimony of God's word and what's in that power. I'm closing. I want you to see this. How Jesus handled that unbelief. The Bible says, Jesus immediately assisted him. You see, when they come to try to, thoughts come, spirits come, negative words come at you to try to tell you it's over. Jesus is right there with you. He was right there with Jairus, saying, "Be not afraid, only believe." And we see that he suffered no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John. Why did he suffer no man to follow him now at this point but Peter, James, and John? Jesus discerned that there were spirits that could abort the miracle by their negative reaction. So he did not allow those disciples who said, "Lord, multitudes are touching you," and you ask which one, they were not allowed to go. Because it was very obvious. They have no clue. They don't understand the realm of the spirit, and they're not coming in. Hello, I said, they're not coming in. Bible says Jesus only took at this point all those great multitudes that were following him, all those disciples that joined in and said, "You ask who's touching you?" That means they had no clue that Jesus said, "Who touched me? Virtue has gone out of me." They didn't even know it was the anointing. That's really sad. If you've been around the anointed one, the Son of God, and you don't even know when the power is moving, that's really bad. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Pray for me to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Pray for me to always yield to him. Pray for me to know his presence more than I know anything. Help me to be reverent. Help me to yield. Help me to surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. Notice what happened when Jesus got to the house. He already knew he's in for a fight. He already knew there's mass confusion. He already knew the devil's on an assignment with the words. He's on an assignment with words to break down the miracle by what's being said. He's already on an assignment with ungodly agreement. He's already on an assignment to stop the miraculous.
That's why that man, when Jesus was walking with him, said, don't trouble the master. He just felt, do you realize? He didn't even say, should I ask Jesus first? Let me ask the Lord how I should approach Jairus. But he didn't. He just went right on in there and broke up what he thought he'd break up. But Jesus shut it down. Jesus didn't let him break it up. Jesus didn't allow those words to go any further. Jesus did not allow it to happen. And he, at that point, said, just Peter, James, and John. We're on an assignment of faith. Hello, I said, we're on an assignment of faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm on an assignment of faith. I have a huge assignment. Tell your neighbor, say, God's given me something to do that's impossible with men. And I cannot have ungodly agreement around me. Somebody ought to say, all things are possible. I'm not looking at my circumstances. I am not looking at anything in the natural. I'm on an assignment from God, and the devil cannot stop me. Say, what I'm believing for is going to happen. Come on. What I believe in for exceedingly and abundantly. Say this with me. I'm taking the restraints off in the name of Jesus. It's more than I could ask or think. Notice, and when he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, verse 38. When he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, he saw the tumult and the people that wept and wailed greatly. Notice how Jesus takes this. Verse 39, and when he was come in, he saith unto them, why do you make this ado? Why do you weep? The damsel is not dead. She sleepeth. Notice the confession of his faith. Maybe you didn't hear me. I said, Jesus is confessing with his own mouth, she is not dead, she is asleep. This is not reckless faith. This is not reckless behavior, God forbid. Jesus knew she was asleep. Now I want you to understand something. Jesus, being fully God, and fully man. Not always man. He became man, but always God. And he did not heal as God. He healed as man yielded to God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God doesn't need to be with you if you're already operating as God, but as God, he did not heal, yet still being God. Not for 1 minute stopping being God, but as the anointed of God. He is a man that is totally yielded to the person of the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, he said, why this ado? She's not dead. She's only sleeping. And watch what they did. He knew exactly what spirit he's dealing with. The Bible says in the next verse, verse 40, and they laughed him to scorn. Turn to your neighbor and say, there will be mockers that don't understand what you're doing in the realm of the spirit. There will be mockers. And I feel sorry for the mockers, especially if they know better. I said, I feel sorry for the mockers, especially if you know better. That's a really sad thing, to be mocking the anointing. To make a murmur about how it operates. It's a very sad thing. Are you with me, saints? The Bible says they laughed him to scorn, but when he put them all out, put your hands up right now and say, I'm putting out all unbelief.
I'm putting out all limitation. I'm putting out all possibilities of it not working. In the name of Jesus, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror. I've been made more than a conqueror. I already have the victory. This thing that the enemy is trying to do, I will not receive it. I'm going forward in 100% faith. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, hallelujah. And the Bible says, they that were with him entered in where the damsel was lying. He put the other ones out except the mother and the father because they had perfect love for their daughter. And Peter, James, and John, they were able to go in with him and said to the young girl, Talitha kumi, in Aramaic, little girl, I say, not I pray, I say. Oh, you didn't get it. I said, I say. Maybe you didn't hear me. You better turn to your neighbor and say, there is a miracle in your mouth if the miracle comes from the word of the living God. I say unto you, arise. Somebody ought to give God the praise.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button, or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.